Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz Chemda Tevo Rechava, is daf Lamed Vov, and we're holding on the bottom of Lamed Hei Omid Beis, right there at the two dots, six lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbana. Tana Rabbana. Arayot u'shniot la'arayot ein lehem lo knas v'lo pitos. We're going to go through all of the different sets of women and define whether there's a chiev of knas, whether there's a din of pitoy, whether there's a din of ta'anat betulim, all of these special inyanim that have been given over here in our Masechet. We went by step. First, we talk about the ketuvah, the difference between a betula and a be'ula, and we opened up, of course, with ta'anat betulim, moved on to the issue of knas, coming up to the details of mefuta. So this braita puts it all together. Let's take those three issues and see the various things that we've brought up. We brought up the din of arayot, and we brought up the din of miyuneh, and we brought up the din of islanders, and so on and so forth. Let's put it all together. Now, on the surface, it strikes you that none of it makes sense. It's only going to make sense as we go through it piece by piece. So let's take a look at it first in general. Arayot and shniot la'arayot. You remember the shniot? Those were the secondary, like a grandmother, the mother of a grandmother, and so on. The Rabbanan added. Ein lehem lo knas, velo pitui. So there's no din of rape, no din of payment for seduction. Okay. And mima'enet, ein la lo knas velo pitui. The same thing is true of mima'enet. Again, it's not meant to make sense necessarily. So a girl who was married by her mother after her father died or after she was legally considered to be a yituma, there's no knas and there's no pitui. An islandess does not have knas or pitui. Whoa, that's weird. Okay, we'll have to figure out why this would be true. Hayotzeit mishum shem ra, ein la lo knas velo pitui. So there's no din of knas or pitui I guess that means that her husband accused her of being a bu'ula, and it was found that it was true in Besdin, in which case, I mean, I thought the din is over there, that means that we have Edim and that she was actually Mizana. So obviously, I mean, isn't she Chayiv Misa? So ein la lo knas velo pitui. Okay, let's go through the cases one by one. When you say arayot and shniot la arayot, I mean, what do you mean? Do you mean what you usually mean? You mean arayot means, you know, like the whole list of arayas in the Torah, that you're chayiv on with chorus, some of them you're chayiv on misa, is that what you mean? And shniot would mean what it usually means, the extension of those arayot midrabanan. Okay, so in other words, let's say you have your mother, so we add your mother's mother, your father's mother, and so on, right? So all of these things, you're going to tell me that the halacha is that they don't, why in the world wouldn't they have knas? It's only drabanan. What? Given the midiraita chazil. Now, right away, we're jumping to a conclusion. The conclusion is that, look, I mean, what in the world does all of this have to do with knas? I don't understand. Just because she's an erva, there's no knas. So it occurred to us right off the bat, I mean, there is at least one possibility, and that is, remember back at the beginning of the Masechet, where we were wondering whether when it says in the pasuk, v'lo tiye le'isha, so it means that she has to be ru'uyala, isha ru'uyala. We're getting even a little smile from the Rebbe. Things are looking up. So if that's the case, then what about the lima that we had? Remember, nara, hanara gives us three, or betula, habetula. We end up saying three times nara, three times betula. We had the whole big limud. But remember that Shimon Atimni said over there that the halacha is that indeed she has to be ru'uyalo, and if not, there's no knas, right? So maybe that's the pshat, that somehow or other the erva is not ru'uyalo, so there can't be a knas because there's no veloti ala isha. But then you got a problem, because shniot are only minarabonon. Well, you're going to say that the posik that says that loti ala isha takes into consideration rabonon? I mean, what is that supposed to mean? So, kiva de midiraita chazila, even if you want to tell me we're going on liba de Shimon HaTimni, who says that we need isha haru yala. But still, am I elam knas? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so let's change the definitions. Maybe arayot in this case means the most chomer arayot. So those arayot are chayav mises bezdin. And when it says shniyot, it doesn't mean shniyot rabbanon. It means the secondary level arayot, referring to those that only have a chiyav kares and that don't have a chiyav misa. And then the tertiary level. So that's what we're talking about. Arayot, level A. Shniyot, meaning the second level, level B. The tertiary level, meaning level 3, which would be Chayve Lavin, where there's no chorus and there's also no Misa, obviously. So maybe that's what it's referring to. That might make sense. So then what would it be saying? That Shniyot or Chayve Kritot, so both of those are not ru'uyot lo li'isha, isha ru'yalo. And according to Shimon HaTimni, ein ha'chinami, the din would be that in such cases, there would be no knas, because you can't be mekayim v'lo tia li'isha. So then what are you saying? That chayve lavim, however, yesh lem knas. Why? Because of the fact that according to Shimon HaTimni, it is ru'uya li'ot lo li'isha, because kedushin is tov sim b'chayve lavim. Oh, okay. Now we have an explanation of the first line of the Braita. But it's a costly explanation. Because usually the word shniyot la'arayot means, as you know, derabbanan. To claim that shniyot means secondary arayot, I don't know. Show me another example where we use the word that way. It's very, very problematic. And the Rabbanei, of course, has his shoehorn right nearby just to try to shoehorn this right into the Braita. With Shimon HaTimni. Tough. Okay. Ikiri Amrei. So there's an alternative. Very interesting alternative. The alternative is that Arayot means what it always means. Either Chayve Mises Bezdin or Chayve Krisis. And in this case, Shniyot means not that they're Rabbonon, but that they're not Mamish Arayot, but they're Chayve Lavin. So then who would it work out according to? At least that's a little bit closer, you know, because they're not included b'chlal v'chayve lavin in the parsha of Areo, so we're calling them shniyot. Okay. Then it would be going according to Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Remember the original machlokes between the Rabbanan, Shimon HaTimni, and Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. So according to the Rabbanan, the lo tia le'isha does not mean that we need an isha ru'yalo. Why? Because we have the ribui of nara ha-nara and betula ha-betula, remember? But there were two ways of understanding the lo tia le'isha. According to Shimon HaTimni, lo tia le'isha means it needs to be able, to be capable of havaya, tihiyah, in the sense of kedushin. So all of these cases would be roi l'kedushin. So why the case of Chayve Lavin is still roi l'kedushin? Ah, but remember that Reb Shimon ben Manasseh said that the lo tia le'isha means a sustainable marriage, that Bezdin will allow you to remain married. But in this case, if there's Chayve Lavim, so then Bezdin will not allow you to remain married, so it's not really sustainable. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, it's not included in the Din of Knas because of the extension of the meaning of lo tia le'isha, according to Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Okay, it was a good review of the sugya before. Now, the next piece doesn't make any sense to me either. It says, a mima enet doesn't have knas or pitui. So, okay, that's fine. I mean, if she's a mima enet, that means by definition that she was married, right? So she's been having relations. Obviously, she's not a bitula. What do I care if she's married from her mother, mitarabonin, or she's married mitaraisa? The fact is that we are obviously not going to grant her the status of a bitula. But then the implication would mean, he doesn't give up, the implication would be that only a mima enet, remember, a mima enet is ikta, give up. A mima enet is a particular type of ketana, but the implication is that a regular ketana who had not been married a mima enet would be chayav a knas. Okay, but remember that was a machlokas. Whether a ketana gets a knas or only a nara gets a knas. Remember? So if we're saying over here a normal ketana, a ketana bialma would have a knas, then who would it be going according to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan who say that, we learned this before, with machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, they say a ketana, yesh la knas. Okay, but the problem is, Go ahead. Look ahead in the same brighter for heaven's sakes. What does it say? Islandit en la lokenas filopitui. Okay, can you explain to me what the heck being an islandit has to do with the knas? I'll tell you, man. There is very, very simple way of explaining islandit not getting a knas. If you hold that only a Nahara gets a knas, which is what Rabbi Meir holds, the beautiful fact is that an islandit is never a Nahara. How do you like that? So she goes directly from being a Ktana until she's 20, right, with Simone Islandit, or 35, whatever. But she goes directly from the state of Katnut into the state of Bagrut. So there was never any Narut. So since there's no Narut, so an Islandit will not get a Knas. But that only is true if you hold like Rabbi Meir, correct? But if you hold like the Rabbanan, then it doesn't work. So how can you make the Brisa work by saying that the Ktana, when it says only mima enet in la knas, but a normal katana would, which is not like Rabbi Meir, and then go right ahead and say, an islandit doesn't have a knas because she's only a katana. Because that would only be true, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. So how are you going to have a brisa being half and half over here? That's atal Rabbi Meir, the amar katana in la knas, and therefore mikatnuta yatsta leveger. Gavi, another musag. Mikatnuta yatsta leveger. And that would be why there was no period of Narut. So now you're telling me the Brisa is half and half. The Reish is going like the Rabbanan. The Sefer is going like Rabbi Meir. Come on. Now, I know what you're going to try to tell me. You're going to try to tell me that actually it works out very well according to Rabbi Meir. And that's the reason why that indeed the island is does not have a knas, and when it says mima in it, aha, it does not imply that a normal katana would have a knas. Because maybe Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the theory of mima in it, which is what? That a mima in it can do miyun as long as they had no relations after she became a Nara, she could continue to be mima in it for some time into the period of Narut. In which case, you can't be medayek that only a mima enet kitana, but a non-mima enet kitana would have a knas. No. Who's talking about a kitana? We're talking about a nara. It's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though she's a nara, she can still be mima enet. Maybe Rabbi Meir agrees with that, right? So, Savala Rabbi Yehuda. No siree, Bob. Because me, Savala, we know for a fact that that's the last thing that Rabbi Meir holds. He was the one who argued on Rabbi Yehuda, for heaven's sakes. Vatanya, ad matai habat mima enet, ad shetavishte saro, divre Rabbi Meir. Okay, that is final. Rabbi Meir holds only until she becomes a gedola. And that's a nara. The moment she's a nara, no more mia. It's Rabbi Yehuda who argues on Rabbi Meir, and he says, Ad she yirbea shachor al alavan, that if they had never slept together following her reaching the stage of puberty, so even if she has somewhat a later stage of Narut, the Gemara over there said this means that the original pubic hairs became longer and look already more impressive. But whatever, the idea over here would be that Rabbi Meir cannot hold of Rabbi Yehuda. That's what's important, and so that answers off, okay? So what you could say is the opposite. You could say the whole Braita is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that would explain why it is that we said the Mima Enet would have a Knas, and the Biktana, to explain away the island is, why doesn't an islandist have a Knas? That could be because Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir that a katana doesn't get a knas, and therefore an islandess is either a katana or a bogeret, but she's never a nara. No, siribab! Exactly not the case, because we know for a fact that Dafka Rabbi Yehuda is the one who argues about that issue. And Misavala, what are you trying to tell me? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's ready to agree that a katana doesn't have a knas, and that's why the islandess doesn't have a knas? That's nonsense! Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav said that you should know, this is, we're going to see later on what the Mishnah is talking about over there, but the Mishnah later on is only going a libra to Rabbi Meir, who says that a kitana does not get a knas. Why did he say it's only going a libra to Rabbi Meir? Why didn't he say it's going either a libra to Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, since we just claim that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir? The imita, if what you're saying would be true, that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Braita, and therefore he's saying that an islandess does not get a knas because she would be only a ketana and or a bogeret, but she cannot be a nara. If that were true, so then what Rav should have said is Zud Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. But he doesn't. He's very careful to say Zud Divrei Rabbi Meir normally would be arguing in Rabbi Yehuda. So that goes out the Braita, that goes out the window as the Braita's explanation as well. So what are we going to do? Well, do we need to know the name of the Tana? Why don't we create one? A perfect solution. So we will make a Tana, and that is the Tana of the Braita that we just met. Shalom Aleichem, Tana. And what is unique about this Tana? Ah, I'll tell you. He holds like Rabbi Meir in one issue, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the other issue. So, okay, this Tana holds that a Nara can be Mima Enet, but he agrees with Rabbi Meir that a Ketana doesn't get a Knas. So now everything is perfect. This putative Tana is someone who makes this Braita make sense. There you go. So we understand why an islandess does not get a Knas, and why, nonetheless, it says a Mima Enet, which is much better than a normal non-Mima Enet, what? Ah, you thought it meant a normal non-mima enet tana. Wrong. A normal non-mima enet nara, because this tana agrees with Rabbi Yehuda about that issue. And so everything now makes sense. Perfect. This is something like dark matter, but we can meet the tana. So here we go. Raf Ramamar, my mima enet, haru yalamamein, lemain. The word mima enet doesn't mean a girl who actually did the mi'un. It means a ketana. It's just another way of referring to a ketana. So since a ketana could be mima enet, that's why we're calling her a mima enet. But any ketana wouldn't have any knas because we're going like Rabbi Meir. How do we know we're going like, because about the islandess? We were obviously going a little bit of Rabbi Meir. So now everything makes sense. Oh, yeah, it does make sense, except for a minor issue. I mean, normally when we're talking about a ketana, we have an interesting word for ketana. It's called ketana. So why did you say a mima enet? I mean, then say ketana. All right. I mean, that is something of a problem, Kasha, but, you know, it's not devastating, is it? Anyway, islandess. Oh, he's back. My gosh. You'd think he would supply at least something if he's going to be so nasty. At least Gavi knows what to share. Notice the coloration. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, next thing. Islandit in a loknas velopitui. The problem is that we have a Braita that says not like that. The Braita, let's call this Braita number two. So this Braita number two says, Hachareshet v'hashota v'ailanit, Yesh lehem knas, and yesh lehem ta'anat betulim. So if it turns out that any of these women, the chareshet, the shota, the islandit, turn out not to have betulim, so then the husband can claim against them that he was fooled or whatever. Remember, we had a machlokas before, what the din is that considered to be mekachtot, whatever. But the point is that here it says an islandit, yesh lehem knas. So how do you explain that? What kind of dumb question is that? Well, hi, my roomie. I don't understand. We've just been discussing the difficulty in explaining islandit, and we ended up saying it only works out according to Rabbi Meir because bikatnuta yatzla lebeger, right? So I mean, it's a pretty simple answer. Braisa number one was Rabbi Meir that we used Barnea's shoehorn for, and Braisa number two is the Rabbanan. No. What kind of weird question is that? According to the Rabbanan, she can have a knas, the islandess, even if she's a ketana, she's 20 years old. So she has a knas. What's the big deal? As a matter of fact, something wrong with the guy who asked the question? Vida ka'arila, my ka'arila. Like, what? Who would ask a dumb question like that? Anyway, I mean, any 2-year-old will tell you one is the Rabbanan and one is Rabbi Meir. Why did he ask the question? You were the one who jumped to conclusions about what the question was. Of course, nobody's stupid enough to ask that question. What happened was, is that He brought a Braita, which we're calling Braita number two. He brought a Braita into the Beis HaMidrash. And he says, okay, gentlemen, listen to this Braita. So, of course, everybody jumps to the conclusion, oh, this jerk, he's asking a question from this Braita and that Braita, because over here it says island. Will you let me finish? I don't have any question about the island. That's not why I brought up this Braita. The reason I brought up this Braita was because of the other two parts, the Chareshet and the Shotah. That was the problem. Now, if you'll let me finish, I'll explain to you what the problem is. Because, Mishum de'itle lemirma achrite eluye. He said, okay, now that you've been quiet for 2 minutes, you heard the Braita number two, now let me present Braita number three, and now you will see what my problem is. Here's Braita number three. Hachareshet v'ashota v'habogeret umukat eitz, ein lahem ta'anat betulim. Now, I mean, we just said a moment ago, that in the case of the Mukas Eitz, so we were talking about over here, that, of course, would be the question of Ta'anat Betulim. So we said, Achareshet Shotava Ailonit, Yeshlem Knas, V'yeshlem Ta'anat Betulim. And here it says, Ein Lehem Ta'anat Betulim. That's my case. Is that a good kasha? Thank you. A little bit of patience. So one Braita says, Achareshet and a Shota, Yeshlem Ta'anat Betulim. And this Braita says, Ein lehem ta'anat betulim. That's my problem. All right. Now, just to remind you, the bogeret does not have a ta'anat betulim because of the normal, natural development of a woman who by the time she's 12 and a half years old is an old lady and no longer has a very useful betulim. So basically, she's already, for all intents and purposes, from the husband's point of view, what he can detect, so she's already not a betula. Esuma, a blind woman and an islandit do have betulim, ta'anat betulim. And Sumchus quotes Rabbi Meir as saying, not a blind woman. Now, this is weird. Blind. That's something. What in the world would this mean? The Gemara is going to explain. But a suma, according to Rabbi Meir, ain't la ta'anat betulim. Okay. So let's just first focus on what I wanted to ask you. You thought I was so stupid. I'm asking you a very clear question. The third Braita, Braita number three, says that a Chareshet and a Shota are not subject to Ta'anat Betulim. How do you explain that? Omrif Sheshes, I explained it very simply. Basically, this Braita that says that there's no Ta'anat Betulim against them is going according to Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel says that if a woman says that I was raped after we were already married, that after, meaning after Kedushin, in the past 12 months, when I've been waiting around for you to finally get your act together and get me to the chuppah, you know? So it's your fault, not my problem. So if she would say that, then she would be ne'emenet, correct? So therefore, in this case, ein la ta'anat betulim. Masha'en kein Braita number two, that says yeshub ta'anat betulim, that's talking about according to Rabbi Yeshua. Remember Rabbi Yeshua, he always says, Lo mi piyadu chayim. We're not living off of her words. Okay, so that's the difference. Come on, man. Now, wait a minute. Rabbi Gamliel was talking about a case where she had a ta'anat bari, and she made the ta'ina. Now, here you're saying she can't even talk. She doesn't know what's going on. She's nuts. She's a shota. And you're saying that because of the fact that we believe her what? She's not saying anything. What do you mean we believe her? When did Rabbi Gamliel say we believe her? When she says it, she says, I was raped after the Kedushin. Okay. But over here, she doesn't say anything. So why is there no Ta'anat Betulim? She doesn't have anything to say. So what, we're going to listen to her non-existent claim? What does that mean? Yes. It means exactly that, and I'll tell you why. Because given the Amar of Gamliel Mehemna, since theoretically, if she would have had a brain, she could easily have said that I was raped after Kedushin. Unfortunately, she doesn't have a brain. Okay, so therefore, we have a klal. The klal is, Ptach picha le'ilein. If you are a bezdin, and you're faced with someone who does not have the intelligence to respond to claims against them, such as the Shotah, the Chareshet. So then you are Mechuyev as the father of those who are incapable of defending themselves. You are Mechuyev to open the mouth for the one who can't speak. So it's since theoretically, Had she been capable of responding to the Taina, she could easily have said, according to Rabbi Gamaliel, she could easily have said, Misher Astani Nenasti, so we'll say it for her. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it won't help because she wouldn't be believed if she said, Misher Astani Nenasti. So what's the point of making the Taina for her? Lo mi pia anu chayin, so her mouth doesn't mean anything anyway, so why should we be her mouth? That's all. Very straightforward, I think. Okay, now, you said that a bogeret does not have a ta'anat betulim. So, in other words, we're assuming that there's no bleeding that's going to be there. That's what we're assuming, right? So how do you explain the fact that the din is, remember we spoke about this, the din is that the first night, even if she's bleeding and she's a bogeret, we allow them to spend the whole first night together. It doesn't matter how many times he wants to sleep with her. And we don't say she's a nida because she's bleeding. We say that this is just the blood. What blood? From the non-existent betulim? What are you talking about? You just said that your bogeret doesn't have a ta'anat betulim. And on the other hand, you're saying, but they can spend the whole night together even though she's bleeding. What is that supposed to mean? If bogeret notim la laila harishon, then obviously she does have betulim. Ah, says the Gemara, wait a second, right? There's two different issues over here. When we say that there is a degradation or deterioration in her hymen, what does that mean? It doesn't exist? What it means is that the tissue is stretched out, no longer is really much of a barrier to penetration. That's what we're saying. We're not saying that if you actually tear whatever tissue is left, it's not going to be some blood. So, okay, if he was tining that I didn't find any blood, you're right, then he would have been able to have a ta'anat betulim. But what we're talking about over here is that he says, I don't know, I didn't find any resistance, so she wasn't a betula. That's because she's a bogeret and there's no longer enough resistance that he's going to notice. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to allow her to continue sleeping with him all night in the event that she is bleeding, because there certainly is a basis for saying that this is dam of a makkah, and it's not dam of nidot, and therefore why should we answer? We have to make some gvul to it. So we say, okay, we give him the whole first night. Now, the last part of the braita says, weirdly, that Sumche says that according to Rabbi Meir, if she's blind, then there's no ta'anat betulim on someone who's blind. That's the first time I ever heard of a connection between eyes and genitals, other than lotaturu achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem. I mean, what in the world is this? This doesn't seem to make sense. My time at the Sumchas. I'll tell you. Because blind girls fall a lot. And since they fall a lot, so she's going to end up basically having an accident that's going to damage her betulim. I understand. What do you mean blind girls? Of course, blind girls fall a lot, but all girls fall a lot. I understand. Kids fall all the time. I mean, any girl that's driving a bike, I mean, it falls a lot. And what kind of story is that? But the difference between the number of falls of a blind person as opposed to, that doesn't seem to justify it. Kulana michavuti michbatim. I mean, if you're going to say that we're going to rely on the fact that kids fall, and therefore, they don't have any betulim. I mean, so you might as well throw out the whole idea of ta'anat betulim from the window. Everybody falls. Yes, everybody falls. But when they fall, they notice that they're bleeding and they're scared. What the heck happened to me? Oh, my God. They go run to mommy and they say, I don't understand. I'm bleeding from my tush, you know. And mommy has to tell her a little bit of the facts of life and tells her, well, my dear girl, you are no longer a betula and that ain't no tush. Okay, fine. But for a blind girl, she doesn't notice. So she's not going to go screaming to mommy. Therefore what? Therefore she never finds out, right? And this one is a naroa, and therefore she's not mar'ala ima, and she never knows anything about it. And therefore, the guy knows that even though she never said anything, this is how Rashi understands it, even though she never said anything to him about the fact, look, you know, you got to know that I had an accident and I'm Mumukas 8. Well, she didn't know because she didn't know. Of course she didn't know. So there wasn't any false pretenses here. And therefore, he doesn't have a taina that he wants to be Mevatel her Ksuba. This is how Rashi understands it, which of course is a big problem, because we said before we were going Aliba to Rebbe Meir. If we're going Aliba to Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir says you don't lose anything. You can't come and say it's a Mekach Tos. That's Tosis's Taina. So therefore, Tosis explains that the issue over here is that she doesn't know, and since she doesn't know when he says Lo Matzati Lach Betulim, she doesn't know what to say. I don't know. Why wouldn't I have Betulim? Because mommy never told her anything about it. That's all. But a normal child who would have been able to see the blood obviously is going to run to her mother and ask what happened. I mean, she's scared, right? It's a very frightening thing. So, of course, she's going to find out. It's only the Zuma who won't find out. That's all. So she won't say anything, and therefore there's no tying on her. Why didn't you tell me? Not because before it's a Mekach Tos, but when I said I didn't find Betulim, why didn't you say that's because I'm a Mukasez? I never heard of such thing. I don't even know what that is. That's what she would say.
So why are you Tomali Ima should also be Patur, perhaps? She has no one to talk to.
No, it means that she'll go to the person that whoever she's close to, obviously. Okay. Hayotzeit Mishum Shemra. Now, the last thing. I didn't make that sense. This was back in the original Bryce. We call that Bryce number one. What did that mean? If she's Yotzeit Mishum Shemra, she doesn't have knaz. Elo knaz, well, Pito, and we're supposed to kill her in Bezdin. Of course she doesn't have a knaz. What is that supposed to mean? Omer of Sheshes doesn't mean a technical Shemra in the Potsik that she was taken to Bezdin, found guilty of, for heaven's sakes. Yotzeit Shemra means if she has a bad rap. That's what it means. That's if people talk about her, you know? So they, oh, that kid was always running around with the boys. You know, shouldn't have expected her to be a bitula. So Yotzeit Alel Shemra Bialduta. So therefore it's saying, we're assuming that she's not a bitula anymore. En lo knaz velo pitui. Oh, says her papa, well, if that's the case, that you're ready to mess up this girl and claim that she would only be expected to be a bu'ula on the basis of rumors. So then, by the same token, if somebody has a contract and there's rumors that the contract also has a bad rap, so then the court shouldn't be able to collect with that contract, because we see that we actually utilize bad raps as a reason to parcel things. Now, what exactly do you mean by a bad rap? Hold on a second over here. Hey, Chidam, you mean what? That this is rumors? So what's the bad rap exactly? That this is a forgery. And then the case about the girl, the bad rap would be that she's been going around sleeping with kids. When she was a little girl. That's not true. Because Rava said that even if a woman has a strong reputation as sleeping around, Yotzala Shem Mizana, Beir, ain't choshishinla. We don't pay any attention whatsoever to those kind of things. Okay, so then that can't be the case. So it must be the case is that two witnesses come forward and they say that she propositioned them. We were walking down the street like regular guys, and then this girl comes over to us and offers her body. Well, of course, we didn't accept, but I mean, I'm assuming if that's what she did to us, that's what she did to other people. And somebody accepted, you know? So maybe that's the case, in which case the similar problem with a bad rap on a shtar is that two witnesses come along and they say, this guy who's presenting the shtar, he called us up last week and asked us that since we're such graphic designers, if we wouldn't mind. No, the case is actually, since we're witnesses that are ready to sign for a buck, could he pay us a buck to sign on a phony document? And of course, we didn't accept, but I wouldn't trust any document that this guy brings to court because that's the kind of guy he is. So then it would be the same thing, right? Says the Gemara, no, not right at all. There's a big difference between propositioning someone for sex and propositioning someone to write a shtar that is forgery. Because when it comes to sex, I guarantee you will find the customer. But when it comes to finding somebody who's going to sign on a shtar, I mean, I understand. We have a cheskas kash with some people. Where are we going to find such a thing? So therefore, Rav Papa makes no sense. Bishlama hasam, a girl that propositioned these two witnesses is going to find the customer. Shlichei prutzim, you always find people who are ready to take her on. But over here, Hacha, we're talking about writing a star that's a Ziyuf. So, Imhu Huchzak, I mean, so yes, you're right. He is a no goodnik. But he's carrying a star. What's wrong with the star? What, you're going to tell me that because he's a no goodnik, so therefore these witnesses lose their cheskes kashrus, so we're going to call them liars? And they signed on a document that was a lie? No, that wasn't the issue, silly. The issue was that if he's looking around for a forged document and he can't persuade somebody to sign it, he'll sign it himself. He'll get hold of something that looks like this witness's signature. He'll be mezayef it. And that's our problem. We're not chas v'shalom. We're not claiming that Kol Yisrael are chashed. Nobody's chashed. But we know he is chashed. And since he's chashed on hiring the witnesses, he's chashed on becoming enough of an expert that he'd figure out how to forge their signatures. So given to Komahadar Aziyufa, we're chashed that maybe he himself was Ziyufa Zayef and he forged their signatures. Which brings us to a very important moment, which Barnea is trying to make a l'chaim to our Kapitan. I'm assuming it's filled with the correct ingredients. Kapitan, get ready to go with the coin. Ve'elu she'ein lahem knas. Now, we have cases where we can assume that a girl is not a betula. So that somebody rapes a gioret who is older than three, or a shvuya, older than three, or a shivcha, older than three. Shenivdu v'shenitgayru v'shenishtachru yiterot ha'benot shalosh shanim v'yom echad. So remember, once the child is 3 years old, she is considered to be ru'uyot levia in the sense that she has a normally functioning reproductive system, and which will include the fact that if there was actual intercourse, she's not going to have betulim. So now, if they were less than 3 years old, so then she's still a betula at the time that she was mitgayer, nishtachrer, or nivda from the shevi. But if she was older than three, and she was ru'uya levia, so then she's no longer a betula. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, I like all of that, but I disagree with this part that you say about a shvuya. Why are we assuming that, just because she was a shvuya, she was raped? I don't think that's fair to women. I mean, she might have been violated a little bit, but that doesn't mean she was penetrated, and therefore she should not be called a betula, a bu'ula. I disagree with this. And over there, she could be even older than 3 years old. She could be a gedola, as far as I'm concerned. Now, here is the last part of the Mishnah that we talked about earlier that gave us such tsar, trying to figure out what Rabbi Meir, what he would hold about a case where somebody rapes his daughter or his granddaughter from his daughter, his granddaughter from his son, his wife's daughter, his son's daughter, or even the daughter of the daughter, whatever, in all of these cases. Also, Elam Knas, but that's because of another reason. That's because of Kimle Bitterab Amine. And over here, Yumit Chayev Benafsho. And because this is Misa's Bezdin, not Chorus. In other words, the mission is going out of its way to point out this is not like Reb Nechuni Ben Akana. This is real Misa's Bezdin. And Kola Mit Chayev Benafsho. In a Mishale Moman. You don't pay where you are involved in a Chet Mavet Shinema Velo Yia Ason Anojianesh, as we explained earlier. Rabbi Yochanan. Well, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that said that a shvuya is not considered to be a bu'ula actually is saying exactly the same thing that Rabbi Dosa pointed out. Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Mishnah where he says, why should we assume that a shvuya was raped? Rabbi Dosa basically said the same thing in a braita, benoge achilas truma. So here we're talking about benoge knas. Rabbi Dosa said, I don't understand what the problem is. Even if you redeemed a woman that had been captured, so you're going to call her a posel for eating truma? Why is she posel for eating truma? Because, Omer Rabbi Dosa, I mean, what are we talking about? So the Arabs, you're right. You put an Arab near a girl, it's over. But what does he do? So because he feels her up a little bit, I don't understand. What's the big deal? V'chima asala aravi ala. What did this Arab do to her? So he felt her up a bit. I mean, this is going to make her a bu'ula? Now she can't eat truma. I don't understand what you guys jumped to the conclusion that just because she's in it with an Arab, so that means necessarily she was raped. I understand that he's certainly not going to control himself, but it doesn't mean that she was raped. Omar Rabba, Rabba says, not necessarily. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa would not agree because they're talking about two different sets of issues. We're talking about over here about the Shaila of Knatz, which is taking money from someone, even though we have a Cheskas Mama. Usually when it comes to Knatz, we say the issue is Samo Tzibich Averol of Araya. I mean, you can't take money. When we're talking about the psul of Truma, there may be other issues. Look, I mean, maybe Rabbi Yehuda, Adkan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda Hocha. Rabbi Yehuda was only ready to say that we don't consider her to be a bi'ula is because what we're saying over here is we don't want the chote to be niskar. What should we say? We should say that, well, you know, this guy that raped her, he shouldn't have to pay. After all, she was a shvuya. Here, Mr. Rapist, you pay. Go prove that she was a bula. I mean, that's pretty logical. So we're going to say, we know we need to have consideration for rapists. I mean, you don't want them to have to pay a knas, do you? Why not? So maybe we're just saying, when it comes to the question of rape, let him pay. What do I care? Mashain Kane, when it comes to eating truma, maybe he agrees that we have to assume, I mean, we have to have a chumra of eating truma, we'll be machmer. That maybe she was raped. You could say exactly the opposite. You could say, maybe Rabbi Dosa was talking about Truma, and he said, it's okay to eat Truma. He was talking about Truma Durabona. But by Knas, where we're going to be taking money from this guy's bank account, which is an Isser D'oraisa, I mean, that's a question that we have a Cheskas Maman. That's a D'oraisa. So maybe in that, we're not going to go, we're going to go like the Sheet of the Rabbana, that she does not have a right to a Knas. That makes perfectly good sense to me. Omar Abaye, hold on a second over here. You're giving me all kinds of logic. You know, you're telling me maybe the reason that Rabbi Yehuda said that we're not going to consider a ba'ula is because we don't want the rapist to get the advantages over here of not having to pay knas. I mean, I understand that you feel this way, but how about if we listen to what Rabbi Yehuda has to say? Because he never took that into consideration in his psak. And therefore, for you to stick it in there in order to make it different from Rabbi Dosa is outrageous. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The time in Rabbi Yehuda, ach, shloye, chote, niskaru. What he said had something to do with the question of not being kind to rapists. Vatanya, the brisa says, beferish. Rabbi Yehuda, aimer. Shvuya, shenishbet, harehi, bigdushata. The idea over here is that she remains in the state of Kedusha that she had. I don't care how old she is. She was 10 years old. Forget about 3 years old. I feel about Eser Shanim. She has a full Ketuvata Mataim. She's considered to be a Betula in all senses. Now, that here we're not talking about Knas. We're talking about how much her Ketuva is. Who's the sinner exactly that we want? Don't want to be kind to rapists. So over here, what? Don't be kind to husbands. I don't understand. What does it have to do with it? You took one particular case of Rabbi Yehuda that had to do with Knas. How about the normal case of Rabbi Yehuda? That has to do with the question of how much Ksuva is. So he's telling me how much Ksuva is because we don't want to be kind to husbands. What? No, says Rabbi, not true. I'll tell you, because there's another issue. All we're suggesting is that these are contextual Piskei Halachas. If I bring you a context of why it would be that we would be inclined to view her as a betula. So in that sense of the knas, we're inclined to do that because why be kind to rapists? Okay? But over here, we also have a very important reason to say for the ksuva, let's consider her to be a betula and she'll get paid 200. Because the moment that Bezdin will paskin that she only gets 100, we've wrecked her life. We're not going to do that. Why have we wrecked her life? Oh, well, people know. The Bezdin knows that she was raped. Bezdin doesn't know she was raped. The Bezdin was going on the Cheskas Maman and what? But since people are stupid, and if she only collects 100 for her ksuva, they're going to say, well, it looks like we know what. I don't want to marry no girl that some Arab's been sleeping with. So it's going to make it very difficult for her to have a husband. So Bedavka, in that context, we say, look, let's assume that she's still a betula, her, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda puts that together with all of his svaras about why she should still remain mikdushata, but still it's contextual. Remember that every psak halacha takes into consideration multiple issues in which the very careful balance of should we say this halacha rov, should we say chazaka, should we say that we have over here a reason for a reyesa. There's a million things that have to be taken into consideration. All we were suggesting is that you can't bring a raya from Rabbi Yehuda Reb Dosa. What's so bad about that? You're proving to me from the ksuva that there's nothing to do with being kind to rapists, but there's plenty of other issues. Nobody's pretending there's only one issue. So hatam nami, why would Rabbi Yehuda consider her legabi ksuva to be a betula? Because dilma mimni velo nasvila, people will end up not marrying her. You don't want to do that to her. Okay, now let me just understand. So in other words, what we said over here was that the simple approach, Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with the idea of not being kind to rapists. It's because Rabbi Yehuda really holds, like Rabbi does, right? So now he really holds that a woman that is captured is not normally raped. Is that true? Savar Rabbi Yehuda b'kedushata kaima? What about the braita that says that if a guy goes ahead and he is poda, this means any guy, even a kohen, so he, let's say, they are charging $5,000 if you want to get this woman back. Okay, so he goes, he pays the $5,000, obviously, because he likes this woman. So he wants to marry this woman. So if he puts out the $5,000 to marry this woman, he's allowed to marry her. But if he says, I know that she wasn't raped, then he's not allowed to marry her. What? That's insane. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he can never marry her. Now, what does that mean? He can never marry her. Why? What's wrong with her? Because she was raped. And he's a Kohen. She's raped by an Arab. But I thought you said that Rabbi Yehuda holds the opposite, that she wasn't raped. Boy, am I confused. Okay, now, before I get to answer why this is not a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, something is screwy with this braita anyway. You can't ask something that makes no sense. You can't ask if it's a kasha, Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, we got it wrong. The braita is crazy. You said that if he goes in his poda, he pays his $5,000, gets the girl, then he's allowed to go marry her. As long as he doesn't open up his fat mouth and say, I know she's not a ba'ula. I mean, he makes things worse by saying that he knows that she wasn't raped. How does he make things worse? He can't possibly make it any worse. So then how do you explain the fact that the bride says, but if he says that I know Me'idba, then he can't marry her. What? So now because he knows and he says that he knows, now we don't let him marry her. This makes sense to you? So something's wrong with the bride. No, you're reading the bride wrong, for heaven's sakes. It's two different cases. The bride is saying like this. If he's poda a woman, and he says, I'm being poda her because I want to marry her as a Kohen, and I know that she's Tahora. Then he can marry her. Fine. So then you say, Anna. But if he doesn't put any money on the line and he's just going around saying, I know that this woman is Tahora, then we don't believe him because it's different. As we're going to see later on, there's a concept that a person doesn't throw his money out for nothing. So if he's ready to put money into it, put up or shut up. Okay. So you want to just be made? Put up or shut up. If you're just being made, we don't believe a thing you're saying. You're figuring some good-hearted Samaritan is going to be poter, and then you'll say, oh, as I told you, which of course I had no personal interest in, as I told you, I know that she was Torah, so I'm going to marry her now. That's the point. And therefore, what we're saying is, if he's just being made, so then he can't be believed. Now, but the bottom line is, though, the Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make any sense. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we really don't believe that a shvuya was raped. So how do you explain it over here? That even if he's ready to put in money and he's made, that we do assume that she was raped? Nah, there's obviously, it should say, Ema. Bein kach u bein kach keni sa'ena. He can't be saying that. according to Rabbi Yochanan. So what he was saying was, whether the guy put in money or whether he didn't put in money, either way he can marry her according to Rabbi Yehuda, because her shavuya is considered to be a betula. Ravuna bereid Rabbi Yeshua, amen? Mashenken, we can learn it according to Ravuna bereid Rabbi Yeshua kipshutai, and that it's talking exactly what it says. Except that it's not a kashan, Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yehuda was not telling you his personal opinion. He was telling the Rabbanan what their opinion should be. So he was telling them like this, listen, boys, Ladidi, as far as I'm concerned, this whole discussion is just moot. I mean, what are we talking about? There's no chashash anyway that she's a bu'ula. So bein kach, of course he's a ena, but you guys believe that we have a problem, okay? So then what difference does it make that the guy was willing to put in $5,000 to be paid to her? I mean, how does that prove anything? You should have said, I don't care if he put in money or didn't put in money. You should have said, lo yisad, in either case. I'm not saying that. I think the whole thing is crazy. But that's what you should say. Okay, so then Rabbi Yehuda was speaking to them from their point of view. Benkach, benkach, lo yisad, enami boile. So how did Rabbanan explain the difference that the guy put in money? Verabbanan. Why? Lo shadi inish zuzi bichdi. Gavi, that's a klal. People do not throw out money for nothing. And if this guy hadn't known that he would be able to support the fact that he knows that she is not a bu'ula, he never would have put in that money. And therefore, we then believe him because of that additional point, which is the raglayim ledover, that the edus is correct. Because otherwise, he's going to be very nervous. He's going to put in all this money. He'll go marry her. And then someone will come along and say, oh, I was there. The Arabs were raping her every night. Now what's going to happen? The business is going to make him throw her out. She's not going to throw out money if he didn't know otherwise. Obviously, he's satisfied that that's the reality. But if he's only made ba, lo yisa'ena. Why? Because maybe she turns him on. Shema'inan v'tanba. What does that explain?